Jeff is, of course, find his books at Next Chapter Books in St. Paul, totallyiowa.com. Iowa Business Report is his business show extraordinaire down there. And, of course, the Iowa Politics Report comes from KXEL. Hey, Jeff.
Are you in mourning today because Bernie is done?
Well, no. You know why I'm not in mourning? Oh, yeah. What? Take a look at my social media pages. Dear God. I'm never voting for anyone ever again. I'm like, oh, for God's sakes. Jeez.
So they're not – don't mark them down as undecided in the fall.
Well, I just give it some time. Take a few weeks, let it process. I want – Jeff Stein, what is the main reason? Why did Bernie Sanders, who almost pulled up the – and you and I have talked about this. In 2016, he didn't take the southeastern states seriously. That cost him the nomination. He almost – that would have been the upset of all upsets in a presidential – you know, in a primary. It really would have been.
Right.
And he almost pulled it off. What is the main reason why he did not resonate as well in 2020?
He was no longer the new kid on the block, which is hard to say about somebody who 4 years ago was 74. Yeah. But he was fresh and different and new ideas. And the problem this time – and remember, he did do very well, in essence a tie in Iowa. Of course, he won New Hampshire going away. But Elizabeth Warren siphoned off just enough support early on. And that was a big part of it. But the Super Tuesday – everybody fold their tents in advance and get behind Joe Biden to stop Bernie. That organized effort, that really blunted him. Because just assume for the sake of conversation that Klobuchar and Buttigieg each had said to the Biden people or to the National Party, Tom Perez, whoever, said, you know what? We've put enough time into this. We're going to stick through Super Tuesday. Let's just see what happens. That could have changed the whole outcome. But I think the fact that everybody fell in line, if I'm a Bernie supporter, I would have been so disillusioned by the process then. I'm not shocked that he's getting out now, because there's just no way to go out and meet people and do things. The only thing that could have happened, I suppose, is if with all these states delaying, Wisconsin, of course, notwithstanding, that's a different issue, but with all these other states delaying, if this virus situation had plateaued and not been so much of a factor sooner. But it doesn't look like it's going to be – I mean, we won't be right by Memorial Day. And so there was – you know, if you had later primaries, Biden faltering with his little home video exercises or his Facebook Lives or whatever he's doing – then there might have been some hope. But Bernie has always seemed to me to be the type of person who really believes in the ideas and just doesn't have time for tomfoolery. And, you know, there was just no path out at this point.
Was it really so much a cabal against him, or was it the fact that that most of his supporters – would constantly scream at Buttigieg and Warren, anyone else that was running on the Democratic side, that, you know, basically, you're horrible, you're dumb, you're just copying Bernie, so you might as well get out now and just endorse Bernie. Why aren't you doing so? And on top of that, that lovely little praise of Fidel Castro's literacy program on 60 Minutes. You know, I'm sorry. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and you're right. I think you and I talk about finances of these things all the time. South Carolina really is a wall, because if you don't have any money, you haven't been winning. By the time you get to South Carolina, you basically are on fumes, and I think that's what happened. But at the same time, I mean, Bernie himself, he did not exactly – you know, what's the old adage? You get more bees with honey than vinegar. So, I mean, it just – he needed to learn how to – he doesn't like trying to appeal to others, so he doesn't try to appeal to others. And then when others basically pull out of the campaigns, he's not the one getting the endorsements.
Yeah, in terms of a cabal, 4 years ago, the fix was really in, and you can see it from the DNC side. This year, it was a looser sort of thing. It was kind of like the, I'll call them more mainstream candidates, for lack of a better term. They all said, oh, you know, we can't have Bernie. This could be Bernie. All right, then let's line up. So it was not as orchestrated as it was 4 years ago. 4 years ago, Saturday Night Live got Larry David to portray him in skits, and he came across as this Larry David type figure. And I think there were a lot of people who thought Bernie Sanders was like the lovable schlub character Larry David plays.
Yeah, you what? I agree
all
with
right?
that. I agree with that.
And so then this time around, we didn't have Larry David, and we had Bernie playing the role of an even grumpier old man. The only thing he didn't say is, "You kids get off my lawn."
Well,
when
Larry David came on Saturday Night Live and said, "You know who could wash his hands really well? Stalin." I fell out of my chair. Jesus, was that good?
Sure.
That was
and not trace of blood on them. No, yeah. I mean that's the thing. The you know, and you remember the skits 4 years ago, and again, people weren't able to tell the two apart, and so that gave him this kind of lovable, if you will. But boy, that wasn't the case this time. He was much harsher, and you're right. His people had an edge to them, but they were carrying the baggage of 4 years ago. And
well,
by gosh, he's going to steal it from us this time.
Well, and I'm going to say this. As much as the DNC was – there were some clowns involved in 2016 in the DNC, undoubtedly.
Yep.
He lost. He didn't lose it because of superdelegates. He lost it because he didn't win the southeastern United States because he didn't take it seriously. And this time around, he also did. He did too well in the southeastern states, which was a really kind of a shocker. Did you see? Have we seen any numbers out of Wisconsin from the Petri dish over there that tell us what you know? That was the thing I was wondering about. Is did his people get wind? Because Wisconsin was another one of those states where he pulled off a victory in 2016. Did they get wind that he just got trounced over there, and that's what led him to that decision that day?
I can't say that. I think that they figured let's put it this way, there were not signs that there was going to be this great groundwell of support in his favor. I don't know that they had any evidence that things weren't going their way per se, but the whole thing was just a train wreck. If they'd gotten it delayed, well, then they could have, you know, really done something.
Oh.
But I don't think Wisconsin was – I don't think it was for the reasons you mentioned. I think they let Wisconsin play out and, you know, again – where's the path forward at this juncture? And there just isn't one. Because if Bernie had said, okay, let's stay in, let's really push, and let's have debates, and let's do all of this stuff, he's going to be seen as the guy who doesn't care and doesn't mind if people risk their lives. And that Wisconsin situation, you just can't have that repeated in these other states. And so I think that was part of it too. It's sort of like, why did Kamala Harris and Cory Booker and others get out before Iowa? Because they knew that they had to be sitting in Washington for an impeachment trial, and they couldn't get out with the people. They couldn't get out and raise money. Well, Bernie can't do anything but be on a video screen at this point. And so, again, he lost one of the key points that would have helped him leverage upward and might have exposed Biden for flaws.
We did get one of the great all-time memes of all time. That would be Speaker of the House Voss in Wisconsin telling everyone it's okay to come vote, and he's dressed in full hazmat gear, for God's sakes. That is one of the better images. Thanks for that, because that's going to live for infamy, Voss.
There's something, and I'm curious. I saw this last night on the Twitter machine, so obviously it must be true.
Of course.
But at the time I saw it, I thought, I want to know what McNeil thinks about this. So the Republicans in the legislature in Wisconsin were the ones who, with the help of the high court there, wanted the election to be held on that date. By gum, that's all there is to it. And Democrats were saying, no, we really ought to postpone this thing until it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
That led someone to say the Republicans have now boxed Democrats in a corner, because if, in fact, Republicans say things are so bad we have to delay the general election, which is not going to happen, but let's just play this out. If Republicans wanted to delay the general election, they could then point to Wisconsin and Democrats and say, well, you wanted to delay.
But they didn't delay. First of all, they didn't delay. Second of all, this, an arbitrary primary vote that can happen sometime before the convention is a far different election than a general election. And that's I don't have to put context. I don't have to put spin on it. That's just the reality. What I'm going to love is the same. I'll put it back on the other side. The same Republicans who are demanding that we have to have a primary election happen on the primary date are going to be the same ones going, well, I think it's time for us to we have to shift the general election into January. I mean, I can't wait for that because, in all truthfulness, that's going to be a far larger bit of hypocrisy to have to get around because there's going to be a lot of Republicans if these numbers go a lot the way that these people are starting to figure them that are going to go that other way. I want to ask you something about Iowa.
By the way, I love it. First of all, I love it when you impersonate Republicans. That was very cute.
You're welcome.
But this was a Democratic consultant who posited that on Twitter last night, and I thought, okay, that's worthy at least of recognizing.
Sure thing, Dennis Quaid. All right, so you can go check out that quote for later from the Daily Beast.
I'll have to. Yeah,
all right. So, Iowa, you and I talked last week. You had said, do you have a statewide stay-at-home order in your state right now?
We do not by that name.
But
we do not have a stay-at-home order. We have all sorts of restrictions walking right up to it, where supposedly Dr. Fauci is now on record saying Iowa has more restrictions than some states with stay-at-home orders.
Here's the question I have for you.
Yes, sir.
Minnesota, I've been tracking on the New York Times, which is tracking the amount of cases per state, which, once again, let's be honest, we don't really know because a lot of people aren't getting tested. But the people that are getting tested, they're coming back. We're getting a number on it. And I have watched as states like Mississippi and Idaho have skyrocketed and shot past Minnesota. Minnesota is the 22nd most populous state in the nation. We started off on that list at 26. We are now at 34. We are 9 cases ahead of Iowa, which is – we have 5.6 million people. If I'm not mistaken, you're 3.1 or is it 3.4?
That ballpark, three-something.
Three-point-something. And on the low threes, too. But, I mean, you're still there. And you do not have, and with all due respect to Des Moines, you do not have a large metroplex area.
Absolutely true.
Nothing like Minneapolis, St. Paul, or Chicago, or St. Louis, or something like that. And so the fact that you are having this, I mean, is this, do you feel, is, because once again, Minnesota just extended out their stay-at-home order till May 4th. That just happened today. Because it has been good, and we have been getting better and better in regards to the context of the rest of the country. Do you feel as if Iowa's growing coronavirus rate was due to the fact that the governor down there was so hesitant to put something into place earlier on?
I'll say no for a couple of reasons. We had restrictions pretty early; they just weren't a stay-at-home order. I mean, the schools were closed a month ago. Businesses were limited, and now even more businesses are limited, and it's extended till at least the 30th in concert with the federal. There are now 1,145 cases in Iowa. That is as of today, 1,145, 27 deaths. Two things of importance in terms of how I look at it here. There is a huge outbreak at a senior care center in Cedar Rapids, which is the second largest county.
No.
Okay. That is where you have a very large – I mean, this is where you get the spread in these areas. Okay?
And it goes right through – it's like water down a hill at that point.
It's just tragic is what it is. And Johnson County, which is Iowa City, just the south of Cedar Rapids, there were a couple of dozen people who were immediately identified – because they all were on the same cruise to Egypt sponsored by a local bank, okay? So it's like you could point to a few pockets where things just really flared up. Now, that does not account for 1,145, I will grant you that, but New Jersey has had more people die than Iowa has had infected.
Well, and again,
you've got a population situation there where they're just on top of each other there.
Well, and once again, in New Jersey have signed fine. I mean, we basically almost have twice the population of Iowa, and you're about to pass us an amount of cases. I think this is going to be something that we're not going to be able to get into right away, but I think this is something to look at because I think that in Minnesota, walls – and with all due respect, the GOP in this state has done very well. I think the DFL has done really well. Everyone's worked together understanding this is an ugly situation, and they put forward a game plan which really has limited it. It doesn't mean that there aren't a lot of cases. Doesn't mean we haven't had deaths. It just means that I think it's interesting. You know, you look at Idaho and Mississippi and the way that they were so belligerent in those states for so long, and now where are they having the ventilators at this point in those states? I mean, it just you kind of put this whole thing in perspective. It just is. It's a nightmare. This is really, truly a nightmare. I'll tell you what, Jeff, let's take a break. Yep. We'll come back. We'll touch more on this from the federal level. Jeff Stein joining us. So I do want to remind everyone, Robert Pilot, the Pilot's Progressive Party, coming up here at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Robert, Wendy, Aaron Murphy. Make sure you say hi to Aaron Murphy for me. She'll be joining them. Kiala Kelly, the Native Hawaiian journalist and filmmaker, she'll also be on the show as well. That's 5 o'clock this afternoon, Pilot's Progressive Party. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tom Hartman here letting you know how you can save money with All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that it's too expensive and you need lots of money down. The truth? Solar is available for little or no money down. And if you have a great site for solar, you might even save money right away on a monthly basis. So don't wait to switch. You'll see your investment pay off the sooner you switch to All Energy Solar. So start saving today and visit allenergysolar.com.
Don't be surprised if you hear your name when you walk into St. Paul Corner Drug. Our experienced staff make getting to know you their top priority. Developing a trusting relationship with our patients is the first step in providing personalized care that achieves the best outcomes possible. Make certain all your providers know who you are and what your needs are. It is a vital step in your well-being. Stop by St. Paul Corner Drug today to start a relationship with a staff that cares. St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.co. OP.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us right now. Jeff, how are things going in Iowa with the latest report that bacon, because restaurants are closed, bacon is apparently one of the most popular things that, you know, whether it's part of another recipe on top of a burger or just, I guess, a plate of it. That basically bacon orders are down dramatically and the hog prices have absolutely cavitated at this point.
Oh, it's really bad because, again, we eat bacon when we go out it's a nice little vice, and we don't want to make it at home because it's so messy. I mean, frankly, right? I mean, I talked to somebody the other day, and they said, oh, I put it in the oven, and I thought, well, I think that's against the law to cook bacon in an oven, actually. So, but you've got – I mean
– Iowa's got some weird laws, man.
Well, you lived here. We had to put them in place.
Yeah, exactly. Because, true. Yeah.
No, so, not so you've got that kind of an issue. And again, it's a big deal because between North Carolina and Iowa, there's where your hogs are produced. But there's now all of the ethanol plants. This biofuels industry is cratering. It could be literally half as many barrels produced than in prior years. And that's going to have a devastating effect. And that's not all coronavirus, but people aren't traveling. Mm. So they're not, I mean, look at the gas prices, right? I mean, this is a perfect storm, as the folks from the industry have explained it to me. Between the fight going on with crude oil prices, people aren't traveling. And so now you've got the ag industry that started this year so positive because of trade deals. And it didn't look like we're going to have a lot of flooding, and okay, this may be the year. Oh, wait, here comes coronavirus, and everything craters again.
We got about 2 minutes here, but I wanted to get into this. Very Harding-esque here, Trump's desire to get rid of the inspector generals. So basically, we pass these laws, we're going to have oversight of this money as it gets distributed, and oversight of supplies getting distributed, and Trump's new tactic is to get rid of the people who are supposed to oversee these products and this money, and basically letting the fox into the hen house.
You're spending a lot of time with the kids helping them homeschool. Harding-esque.
Yes.
That is outstanding. Well, you know, when Nancy Pelosi said we need a committee, bipartisan, to watch and see how the money's being spent, et cetera, and people on the right just threw up their hands and said, well, this is ridiculous. Okay, maybe it's not so darn ridiculous now, because you have a lot of Republicans who have been strong advocates of whistleblower laws. And this does nothing to support that, quite obviously. And, it's the kind of thing you saw right after the acquittal in the Senate, where he just started firing people who did him wrong. Well, apparently he found another one. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And again, last I knew, there was not gold neon lettering or gold leaf lettering on the White House that said Trump. So this is not like a hotel or another failed business where you can just go fire the people who you think have done you wrong.
Well, and I mean, I'm sorry. I can see this cab coming down the street with his doors wide open. If he loses in this election, you know, it's going to be 2 or 3 years. All of a sudden, everyone's going to be like, oh, guess what? He and his buddies were jamming the money into their own pockets. Or he was taking medical supplies away from New York and California and giving them to red states like Florida. I mean, I think that's what really at the end game we're going to eventually find out.
Well, this short story is the whole thing. Yesterday, one of the reporters asked, you just said that ballots by mail, that's criminal. Oh, yes, this is how they steal elections, ballots by mail. And the reporter said, well, didn't you vote by mail in the Florida election? And he said, well, yeah. And the reporter said, why? And he said, well, because I could. So, I mean, okay. I don't even know. I mean, I get the idea of, I hate these things. They're crooked, but I'm going to do it because that's what the law says I can do, sort of, kind of. I don't know.
Jeff Stein, thank you very much, Jeff. I do appreciate the time. We'll spotlight this interview. We'll talk to you next week. More dancing tomorrow. Until then, see ya.